The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Batra. This Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, page-wise, has been dedicated by our good friend and pioneer student in the Daf Yomi Shi'ur, Adam Azrak Hashem Yishmeru V'chayehu, for the Hatzlacha of his dear children, that they should grow up to give him much nahat, they should have chokhmah, binah, vada'at, and be'ezrat Hashem, they should be zuche in the right time to the proper zivugim, b'parnasa, osher v'chavod, me'ata v'ad olam, to him and his wife and his entire family. Amen.
Amen.
Davav. Today's daf is being studied in Mishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem t'nechanu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on He Amud Bet, and we are starting two lines at the bottom. Ibaya lehu. Gemara has a question. Tavo le'achar zeman. Ve'amarlo peraticha betoch zemani mahu. Okay. We learned in yesterday's Gemara, and we concluded lahalacha, in Adam poreya chovo betoch zeman. A guy does not pay his debts early. Meaning, a guy comes on a six-month loan. He comes 3 months later and he says, hey, I paid you already. You're not ne'eman, you're betoch zeman. Not ne'eman. Make a shivua. You have to bring proof, bring witnesses. Now the Gemara has an interesting question. But let's say a person would come after 6 months and say, I paid you. Then he's ne'eman. After the time, after the loan is due, he's ne'eman to say, I paid you already. However, this case over here is a little different. He's coming after the loan is due, and he's saying, I paid you before it was due. Now, I'll give you the two sides of the question. One side of the question is, well, bottom line, he's saying he paid it early. People don't pay early. Not ne'eman. Or do you say he has a migo?
Could say
if he wanted to, he could have said, I paid it now. I paid it on time. If the guy wanted to lie, the guy could have lied and said, I paid you now. So the fact that he's coming along and being honest, so to speak, and saying, ah, I paid you early, since already it's after the time it's due, could be his ne'eman. Because now, if he wanted to get away with it, he had a way to get away with it. So that's called the migo. So the question is really over here, does a migo override a hazakah? We have a hazakah, people don't pay early. Hazakah. But I have a migo, I could have said another claim if I wanted to get off. So when you have a migo and a hazakah, which one overrides what? So Gemara says again, Ibaya dehu, tab'o lahar zeman. Right? The lender came along and said, hey, pay me my money after this man, after it was due. And he comes along and says, the borrower, what are you talking about? I paid you early. Now, what's the two sides? Me amninan bimkom hazakah. Then even though there's a hazakah that a person doesn't pay on time, pay early, amninan mali leshakir. But we'll say amigo. What should I lie for? If I wanted to lie, I could have lied better. I could have said I paid you now. Right? Do you say that? Oh, Dilma, or maybe Bimkom Hazakah, no Amninan, Mali Le Shaker. Or maybe, look at the top Rashi, Kevan de Muhzaklam, Te'en Adam Poreya Betok Zimanu. Or do we say, rule, people don't pay early? No Amninan, Bimkom Dika Hazakah, De Mar'ele de Bura, Mali Le Shaker, Vede Minidu. We don't put a Migu in a place of Hazakah to be believed. That's really the question over here. So comes the Gemara and says, right, which means that claim that you're saying, oh, I paid early, that's a weak claim that you're saying. Already it's pagum, that claim, so to speak, because people don't do that. So therefore, I'm not going to say, Migu, if I wanted to, I could have said I paid now. But what are you saying? But you're saying something that is a hazakah against you. So therefore, that's the two sides of the question. Does a migo work when it's a hazakah or not? So the Gemara is going to go back now and bring the same proofs from the Mishnah. We learned these proofs already on yesterday's daf. Tashema behazkat shenatan ad sheyavid ayah shelo natan. Okay, our case, first case in the Mishnah. What was the case? You have a wall that's separating two hatzerot, four amot. Okay, fell down. Reuven builds it. Of course, Shimon's got to go partners with him because it's separating the Hatzerot. Right? Now, Reuven tells Shimon, hey, pay me. Give me the money. What does Shimon say? I paid you already. So what's the deal? Shimon is believed until Reuven brings him an ayah that he didn't pay. Okay? So Yomara says, Tashema, Bechazkat Shenatan, Ad sheyavida aya shelo natan. Gemara says, hechidame. What's the case? Gemara says, hechidame. What's the case of the Mishnah? Ilema shetavo lachar zeman. Oh, back to that. If the case is talking, when it Uven come after the wall was built already, and he's coming along and saying, yeah, give me my money for the wall. V'amar lo peraticha bismani. And he says, what are you talking about? I paid you. When it was due, I gave it to you. Pshita, of course. I mean, that's a regular case where a guy's saying, you owe me 100. And he's saying, I don't know, I paid you already. So he's Ne'eman. That's kofer hakol. I don't know anything. Of course he's believed. El alav v'amar le peraticha betok zmani. Oh, must be the case he's talking about where the Uven comes after it's due. And Shimon is saying, I paid you early. I paid you before it was due. Oh, so then when you have an ayah, and the Mishnah says he's Ne'eman. So you see what? Alma afilu b'kum hazaka amrinan ma'li l'shaker. We're learning the case of the Mishnah, that case. The guy, Reuven, comes along after the wall is built. Hey, Shimon, you owe me half of this wall over here. What are you talking about? I paid you early. I paid you before it was due. And what does the Mishnah say? Shimon is believed. So you see what? Because he has a migu, because he could have said, I paid you now. Oh, so we answered the question. Yehuda says, no. Shani achad dechol shafa v'shafa zmanehu. Same answer like we looked at yesterday's daf. No. Here, every row is due. Every time you build another row on this wall, it's due. So therefore, it's never a case where he could come along and say, I paid you early. There's no early over here. Every row is due. And therefore, you have no da'ayah, which when he comes along after the zman, say, you owe me the money. He says, I paid you. It's not, I paid you before the zman. Every row is considered this man. So therefore you have no ayah to that, to our subject. Tashema, I'll go be right from the end of the Mishnah. Midalat amot ulmala. Okay, what's the deen? Reuben built the wall 4 amot and he extended. En mechayivim oto. Okay, Shimon's not obligated. I'm only obligated to go 4 amot. More than that, I don't have to go. Samach lo kotel achayin. Oh, but if he, let's say, put another wall, Shimon put a wall corresponding, parallel to Reuben's wall, then he's got to pay. So it's ad sheyavida aya, and he's got to prove that he paid. Which is when Reuven comes and says, hey, pay me for the extension. He goes, oh, I paid you. Bring me an aya that you paid. Then we assume that he didn't pay yet. So Yehuda says, hey, what's the case? If the case is talking about where it was due already, meaning after he built the extension wall, and Shimon built his wall, so therefore the money was due. And he comes along and says, I paid you bismani when it was due. Am I law? Why is he not Ne'eman? That's a regular law. Whenever a guy comes and they comes and says, you owe me the money and it was due, he says, I paid you, he's Ne'eman from the Torah. Must be the case of peratika betok zmani. Oh, must be the case talking about after they built the extension. Uven. And after Shimon built his supporting wall next to it. Now the Uven comes along and says, hey, pay me now, it's due. And Shimon saying, I paid you early. I paid you already before it was due. And what do we say? Shimon's not believed. Alma bimkom chazaka lo amrina mani leshaken. So you see what? He's not believed. Even though he has a migu, if he wanted to lie, he could have said, I paid you now. So you see, he's not Ne'eman. Kevin says the same answer like we learned on yesterday. It's nafshani. Acha! De'amar mi yeman de mechaybe li rabbanan. In this case over here, the guy again says, who says that the rabbis were ever going to obligate you? Which means, normally we have a Ne'emanut, when a guy says, I paid on time, he's believed. In this case, he's not believed when he says, I paid on time. Why? Because this guy never thinks he's going to have to pay. It's not so pashut that he has to pay in the first place. But not everybody knows this halakha. When one guy builds an extension, and then Shimon builds a corresponding wall, that now because I built the corresponding wall, I got it. Who says? That needs a court to judge that, by the way. He's not paying, even if it's due, he's not paying until the Beit Din tells him. So therefore, even in a case when a guy comes, let's say, Shimon, after the loan is due, they pay me. And Shimon says, I paid you early. He has a migu. What's the migu? If he wanted, he could have said, I paid you now. Even that, he's not paying now. Even that, he's not Ne'eman. Because he doesn't pay until Beit Din is going to take him to the court and tell him he has to pay. So again, you have no ra'ayah from our Mishnah. Either way, in the case of the migu and the hazakah, the Gemara unsuccessfully could not prove it. Amale Ravacha. Bered Ravan Rav Ashe. Tashema. Okay, let's do a case now. Maneli biyadecha. Guy comes along to his friend, you owe me 100. My 100 is by you. Mane li biyadecha. My 100 is by you. Amar lo, he tells him, yes, I agree. He's talking about, I owe you 100. Okay. And she says, ubefne edim. And he admitted in front of edim. Okay, sounds like a dry case. Lemahar amar lo tenauni. The next thing says, "Guy, do me a favor. Could you give it to me?" Amar, he says, tenauni. Im amar netativ lecha patur. If he comes along and says, "I gave it to you already," okay, that is patur. I paid you already, patur. Why is he patur if he says, "I paid it to you already"? Okay, we'll see. Which means the borrower. The borrower says, "I gave it to you already." Why is he patur for paying? Right, because it's kofer hakol. Yes, I admitted I owe you the money. I'm not arguing with you. I was like, I paid you. Good, that's a regular law. You owe me 100, I say I paid you already. I'm kofer hakol. From the Torah, kofer hakol is believed. I don't have to make a shivwa. I'm denying everything. I'm saying I paid you. No problem. You say, you owe me 100. Absolutely. I owe you the 100. There's witnesses over here. I'm agreeing. I owe you the 100. Next day, could you pay me? I paid it to you, by the way. Okay, I gave it to you. So now what? I'm a kofer hakol. Kofer hakol is the iman. However, en lecha biyadi hayav. Oh. Right. The next day, the guy comes along and says, en lecha biyadi. You don't have anything by me. Now, we'll have to see what that case means. We're going to wait for the Gemara to explain those words. In the Thursday, on Sunday, the guy came along and said, yes, you have 100 by me. He admits it in front of witnesses. Now, the next day, he comes along and says, that what?
I paid you. I don't
have anything. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. My love. Oh, what does this case mean? Netativ lecha. Which means, when it says netativ lecha, when he says, I gave it to you, penaticha bezmani. Good, that's the first case. When he says, I gave it to you, paid you on time. Okay, paid you on time, it's kofer hakol, that's why he's believed. En lecha biyadi, oh, what's the case of en lecha biyadi? Damale penaticha betok zmani. Oh, that the case must be where he said, I paid you early. Which means, we're learning those words now. En lecha biyadi, which means, what are you talking about? I paid you already. So the case is the right way. The loan was due, and he's coming along and saying, what are you talking about? I paid you in the kabiyadi. You have nothing by me already. I gave it to you already before it was due. The ketani hayav. And what's the deed? We say, he's hayav. He has to make a shivwa. He has to bring proofs. So what do you see? So you see, even though he could have lied if he wanted, he could have said, I paid you now. So by saying, I paid you early, so you see what? Even though he has a migo, but since the hazakah is if people don't pay on time, the hazakah is stronger than the migo. So you see, he's not the iman. Gemara says, no, that, yeah. My in lecha biyadi, lo ayu devarim me'olam. The guy comes along and says, what are you talking about? On Sunday, he said, oh yeah, of course, I know there's a loan over here. Absolutely. You have 100 by, your 100 answers is by, my 100 answers is by you. Yes, I agree, in front of Edim. Monday comes along, where's my 100? I don't know what you're talking about. Lo ayu devarim me'olam. Now, what does lo ayu devarim me'olam mean? De'amar mor. Kol ha'omer lo laviti. When a guy comes along and says, I never borrowed, correct? Now, what does that mean, I never borrowed? That also means, ke'omer lo parati dame. That's as if he's saying, I didn't pay. Well, obviously, if he didn't borrow, he didn't pay. You can't pay unless you borrow, correct? Again, this guy's coming along and saying, Lo ayu devarim me'olam. Basically, what is he saying? I never borrowed any money. Never borrowed any money is also a way of saying what? I never paid you, obviously, because if I never borrowed, I never paid. And therefore, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Big Rashi. Lo ayu devarim me'olam. Fourth line. Hilkach hayav leshalem. Share yesh edim shodalo bifnehem. On Sunday already he has witnesses that he admitted. Right? That's why he has to pay. On Sunday already, you admitted you got to pay. When he comes along and says on Monday, hey, I never borrowed money. That's as if he's saying, I never paid. So therefore, based on your own testimony, Sunday you said you borrowed money. Monday you said you never paid. Okay, so pay it.
Never
went. But by saying, lo ayu devarim me'olam, I never borrowed, that's as if you're saying, I didn't pay. Because a guy who didn't borrow didn't pay yet, obviously. Very good. He's hayav from the day because he said,
yes,
there was a loan over here. And on Monday, he's basically saying, I never paid it. But even though he didn't say those words, I didn't pay it.
It's anything, it doesn't mean anything.
Right, but he could say, I paid it. If he says, I paid it, then he's believed. If he says, I paid it, that's kofer hakol. If on Sunday he says there's a loan,
And on Monday he says, I paid it. He's believed. That's a regular case of you owe me $100. I don't owe you nothing. I paid you already. Over here, he's not saying that. He's saying, what are you talking about? There was no loan over here at all. Oh, so the Gemara says, you should know, when a guy said there's no loan over there at all, basically what he's saying over here is, I didn't pay you. Obviously, because if there's no loan, I didn't pay you. So therefore, you have a stira when he said on Sunday to Monday. Monday's coming along, not a stira, just follow his testimony. Sunday's coming along and saying, there's a loan over here. Monday, basically, what is he saying? I didn't pay you. Okay, very good. I was like, what if now you have to pay? So then she says, I mean, that she again. Hilkach, Hayav Lishrem Share Yesh Edim Shodalo Mifneim. The Heman Amal Lola Viti, Modeu Shelo Para. She called me She Eno Nove, any guy that doesn't borrow, Eno Porea. Hilkach Ke Omer, No Parati Dami. The Ilu Amar Parati, oh, very good. Because if he would have said on Monday, I paid, Neiman. That's right. Very good. Which means, if he would have came along and said on Monday I paid you, he'd be an iman. Even though we have a general, of course, we have a general rule. If let's say I lend you money with edim, witnesses saw, I don't have to pay you back in front of edim. So therefore, on Monday when if I would come back along and say I paid you already, you can't go, hey, where's edim? I'm edim. I paid you back already. I'm the iman. In this case over here, you're coming along and saying, I didn't pay you back. I didn't pay you back? Okay, so I was, of course you have to pay. So basically the Gemara failed to prove to me, in a case where you have a Migo, does the Migo override the Hazakah? That Gemara leaves in the bains. Gemara, there's no Hakhra'a on that. The Halakha, they are Mekil. So we have a general rule. Now we have a Safek in the laws of Dinei Mamunot. He could just make a Shibu Abed Rabbanan and portend himself. So therefore, in this case over here, Lama Asim, what would happen? The guy came along and said, after this man, I paid before this man, the rabbis will put a Shibu Abed Rabbanan on him, and he will be the Iman. So if they're putting a Shibu, that means he's the Iman. They're letting him swear Abed Rabbanan, and therefore he'll be off the Abed Rabbanan, we're being Mekir. Okay, now we go into new subjects over here. We go into new subjects over here to the Mishnah. Samach lo kotev, achen, the guy built it over the court and the court. So what do we say? Guy built a Reuven built a wall for amot and he extended it. He built a 10 amot. Okay, so far Shimon doesn't have to pay for the extension. I only got to pay up to the 4 amot. Now what happened? Shimon came along and built another wall, 10 amot. Oh, now we say you're benefiting from that first wall because you're going to put roofing on it. Therefore, you have to pay for the extension. Gemara, Amar Avuna. Samach lepalga, samach lekula. Oh. Which means, let's say the guy, he built another wall. As she says, shelo haya kotel chadash aruch ke kotel harishon. Ela bechatsio o begovho lo egia legovho shel rishon.
Right.
The first guy built the Reuven, built the wall 10 amma. Right? Shimon comes along, builds the wall 7 amma. Okay, he didn't build it all the way up. So the deen is samach lepalga, samach lekula. Finit, you got to pay for the whole wall. You have to pay for the whole thing. Why? As she says, samach lekula. Hayav nitin lo chalko bekotel harishon ki inu samach kotel shni kenegel kol harishon. You assume that he built a tanama. Tkevan ditkil. Very good. Since he started, so for the gemur, why would a guy build a 7 amma wall in front of a 10 amma wall? You can't put roofing like that. Probably he's going to come back later on and put another 3 amma and make a roof. So therefore, samach lepalga, samach lekula. You have to pay the whole amount.
Once you start building,
right. Once already he goes above 4 amot, what is he going above 4 amot for? He's showing what? Eventually he wants to catch up to the other roof, to the other wall, to put a roof there. So therefore, you got to pay immediately. You can't say, I'll wait till I do it. No, you're doing it. Pay. Now it's due. Okay, that's according to Ravuna. But Rav Nachman Amar, Lemay de Samach, Samach, Lemay de Lo Samach, Lo Samach. He comes along, Ravuna, and says no. He said, Rav Nachman says no. Pay for whatever you were sumich. You went up to a certain amount, then you have to pay. Let's say it was 10 amma, the first wall. You went up to 7, pay for 7. You don't have to pay. You only have to pay according to what you equaled, but not more than that. What's the logic of Rav Nachman? Kanere, he says it's not automatic that you're going to go higher. What is he going to gain by that? Correct. So we'll see further. Umode Ravuna
Rav Huna is Modeh. Rav Huna is the one that said, even though Shimon didn't build all the way up, once already he went above four amot, already you assume he's gonna go all the way up, therefore he has to pay for the other wall. Right? Even though he went halfway up, he's gotta pay for the whole thing. However, Modeh Rav Huna, Rav Huna is Modeh Bekarna Velufta. Okay, what is Karna and Lufta? Karna literally means the corner of the house, and Lufta is putting an attachment. Okay, what happened over here? In order to understand this case, so they don't give us any pictures of what was done, but they give us a little understanding of what the guy did over here. Let's get this case here. Yeah. In this case, one end of a neighbor's house abutted and restored an extended wall dividing two courtyards. Again, in the case, one end of a neighbor's house abutted, meaning extended, and restored an extended wall dividing two courtyards. Okay, I mean, it sounds like his house was the wall of his house is separating between the two courtyards. At the corner of his house and the wall, the neighbor subsequently created a small structure by building a wall that projected from his house parallel to part of the dividing wall. Okay, kind of in the corner of his house, he built something out, and that's parallel to the wall that's separating the Hatzerot. Obviously, it's an area, this is the point, it's an area where a person is not going to keep it there for a long time. It's an awkward space. So he says, in such case, Rav Huna will concede the neighbor pays only for that part of the dividing wall's extension that his small attachment actually parallels, inasmuch as the type of structure is not usually enlarged. Hence, it is certain that he will not eventually utilize the entire extension for purpose of this attachment. For our purposes, it's in a place where a person is not going higher. Which means the attachment is on the corner of a house against the wall, where over there, whatever he went up, let's say, six amot, just pay for six. You don't got to pay now for more than that, because you're not going higher. It's an awkward position over there where a person usually doesn't go. That's the case of Karna Velufta. Umodeh Rav Nachman Be'afriza. Oh, what's Afriza? Look at Ashi Afriza. Etz Aruch. Let's say you have a long tree, a piece of wood. Ve'av, and it's wide, thick. Shenoten al pene kol orech hakotel le'aniyach alav rashe korot. U'magin alem shlo yirkevu machmat nechluach hakotel. What do I do? A guy wants to put, let's say, beams across, right? His chatzer. But you don't want to put the wooden beams on the stone walls, because the stone walls are damp. And it's going to cause the wood to decay. So what do? They put like wood first, like a lining over the wall. And then they put the beams on top of the wood, so it doesn't rest on the actual stone. So that's called the afriza. Okay? Now, continue Rashi. Umi she'en lo etzav. But let's say it doesn't have this thick wood to put over the stones. Oseh churin bekotel. What they do is they make holes in the kotel. Venoten nisarim ketanim nemala ulmata ulstadim. And they fill the holes with little woods. And then they stick the beams in the holes resting on the woods. Which is, if the guy has this big thick wood, he'll put it right on the wall itself. And he'll put the beams and he can build on top of it. But if he doesn't have that, he needs to build the foundation. So what do? They build holes in the stone itself. They stick the logs, I guess, the beams in these holes. And in the holes, they put little pieces of wood in order that it's resting on the wood. So it's not resting on the stone, so it doesn't get rotted from the water. Okay, now what happens over here? So it says, okay, so the case is, Umodeh Rav Nachman Ba'afriza. Rav Nachman comes along and says, with the second neighbor, Shimon, he put, let's say, exactly, these beams on the wall, or he made the holes in the wall. So the first case is he put the beams on the wall. The second case is talking about, means he put the holes in the wall. Once he did that, you got to pay for the whole thing. Because already, you know he's going to go and use it now. What are you making these holes in the wall for? Obviously, you're going to go now and you benefit from the whole for the whole thing, right? You have to build whatever for the whole height. Okay, because obviously he wants to put a floor on it or something. Obviously, he's going to use the whole thing. Which basically, the basic rule is, Rav Huna holds, whenever you could assume the guy's going higher, you gotta pay for the whole wall, even though you didn't go higher yet. And Rav Nachman is the other way. Whatever you did, that's what you have to pay. But there's certain cases where Rav Huna will, for example, in the corner, will say, we know you're not going higher in that case over there, so therefore you don't got to pay. And Rav Nachman will say, it's obvious that you are going higher in the case where you're putting the beams on top of the wall, or you're making the holes on top, even though you didn't build your wall yet higher yet. Well, obviously you're going to build it higher because you want to put the beams over there to fit the wall. So therefore even Rav Nachman will agree. Okay, that's basically that law over there. Okay. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says another din now. Bekave. Okay, what's Bekave? Windows. I have a wall. Reuven builds a wall, let's say, separating between the two Hatzerot. On the other side of the wall, not facing the Reuven side of the Hatzer, facing Shimon side of the Hatzer, there's windows. But like windows on in the wall. So the din is Lo Havi Hazaka. Just because, now, the question is like this. You see windows on Reuven's, on Shimon's side, so maybe that can bring us a proof that Shimon built a wall with Reuven. Because why would there be windows on that side? It's facing his area. Look at Rashi. Kaveh, right before they get wide. Kaveh lo havi hazaka. Shimon, shigbiya kotel, ha'cholek b'chaseh nemala medalet amot. Good. Shimon, like we said, he built a high wall. He extended the wall between the two chaserot. Ve'asah bo halonot b'tzad Reuven. Rashi switches the names for us. Yeah. Okay, Shimon is the first guy in this case. Just to keep it for Rashi. Shimon built a wall. He extended more than four amot. Reuven now went. And on Shimon's wall, the windows are facing Reuven's side. Okay. Why does he make these windows? In order that he can put beams. He wants to stick the beams through these holes, so the beams will rest in the holes in the wall. These are not windows for sunlight. They're the holes to put the beams in it. Which means he cannot come along now to Uven and say, "I helped you extend this wall. Hey, look, what do you think those windows on my side for?" Because Shimon could say, there's a reason why there's windows on your side is, so I put them there. I put them there because when I extended the wall, so I want to put my beams in these windows to support the beams. Reuven wants to claim, of course I helped you with it. What do you think I put these holes on the side for? He said, no, he cannot tell him that. So again, Amar Rav Huna, Bekave, the windows or the holes that are on the side of the neighbor, Lo Ave Hazaka, it's not an ayah that the neighbor chipped in to build the wall. Okay? Why? V'afagav, V'avad lehim lete, and even though the builder, again, built these windows, and he put wood around it, again, like the regular rules, so the beams could sit in it and all that. That's no the ayah that the neighbor chipped in. And he cannot climb along and say, I helped you. The amale, because the builder could say, Amina, I said to myself, Lechi payasli lo litra ashitai. Which means like this. I knew eventually you're going to want to build another wall. Shimon's telling you to Reuven, listen, I knew eventually you're going to want to build another wall next to mine. At that point, I wasn't starting to make holes now in my side so you could put beams across. So I put the holes, originally I set it up, so when you're going to come to put your wall there, it'll be ready. Reuven's trying to come along and say, what are you talking? What do you think the holes are on my side for? I put them there in order to, to put the beams. Therefore, I paid you already. Half the wall is mine. She was, I built the wall myself. Hey, so what are these windows doing in there? I prepared it in the case where you're going to finally agree to build a wall next to it. So now, what are you going to want? You're going to want to put beams across. I don't want to start breaking holes in my wall now. So I built the holes initially for when you're going to come to build your side, it'll be ready. So therefore, the neighbor cannot claim just because there's windows on that side, it's not that yet that he chipped in. That's the point. The windows, the owner, the builder can claim, I was just setting it up. Which people do that. People say, because they assume, maybe $1 appease you, and you're going to want to build another wall over there. So, okay, now it's ready. If you don't, okay, so there's windows on that side regardless. Right? So again, the chipayastli, when you're going to be appeased, and you're going to want to put a wall next to it, in order to put beams there, lo litrachita, I don't want my wall to become damaged. And if I put the holes in immediately. Okay. Very good. Let's go further. Okay. Good. Comes again when I get the news. Amar of Nahman. Now we go into new cases here now. We have two neighbors. If I get permission to do something, a usage, on my neighbor's property, and my neighbor doesn't contest it, so I could assume that he is letting me use it. That's called like a hazakah of some sort. Furthermore, just because I allowed you to use one usage, that doesn't necessarily mean that I allow you to use another usage. Every usage has to be judged on its own merit. And you can't say, well, you let me use this, or of course I can use that. So each case has to be judged. So the Gemara is going to give certain scenarios now. Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I want to get you the English to get you all the words, a lot of words over here. Ahazik lehurde. Okay. Ahazik lehurde. One established rights to rest narrow rafters on his neighbor's wall. Okay, narrow rafters, I guess, is the narrow pieces of wood. Lo ahazik lekishure. That doesn't automatically give him a right to put thick beams on the wall. Okay. Because the heavy beams can do damage. So you can't say, you let me use the thin ones. I say, the thin ones, because no problem, not the thick ones. That we understand. Lekishure, however, if you let him use the thick beams, ahazik leherude. The automatically establishes rights to use a narrow rafters because obviously it's going to cause less damage. So if we have no problem. Rav Yosef Amar, Ahazik Lehurde, even if you establish the Hazakat to use the thin ones, the narrow ones, Ahazik Lekishune, you also establish a right to use the thick ones as well. Once you establish a right to use the wall for that purpose of putting objects on it, it doesn't matter what objects you want to put on it. Wow, so he's Mekel over here. Once you have usage, you have full usage. There's no such thing as partial rights. Okay, Ika de Amre, Amar Rav Nachman, Ahazik Lehurde, Rahman says, you have established with the narrow rafters, Ahazik Lekishure. You have rights to put the heavy beams as well, like we just saw. Lekishure, if you have rights to put the heavy beams, Ahazik Lehurde. Certainly you have the rights to put the rafters, that goes without saying. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman, new case, Ahazik Lenafte. A guy established rights, he has a roof, let's say, and the roof drips water into his friend's hasir. If let's say his friend never said anything, so he doesn't care that the runoff of the dripping of their whole roof is falling into his friend's hasir, the guy now has never said anything. So he has a hazakah l'nafte, okay, that he can drip into his neighbor's courtyard along the whole length of the roof. That means there's drops all across the whole hasir. No problem. Ahazik l'shafcheh. He automatically establishes the right to let the water pour in one spot. For example, let's say he has a gutter. Okay, now all the water is going to land in one area. Meaning if the guy in the chaser didn't open his mouth and let the water run across the whole chaser, certainly he's not going to mind if it's just going to run on one area of the hasid. Naftim means it's dripping on every part of the hasid. The roof is dripping all the way down, so the whole hasid is wet. Certainly he wouldn't mind if just the water runs to one specific area and makes a puddle, because that's only in one spot. So if it's naftim, certainly it'll be good for shafcheh. However, the opposite. Azik le shafcheh, if he has azikah for one area where the water runs down, lo azik le naftim, he has no right to let it drip across the whole length of the roof, because that's going to wet his whole chassid. But Rav Yosef Amar, like earlier, afilu achazik leshafcheh, even he has the right to pour in a drain spout to one area, achazik lenatfeh, automatically establishes the right to drip the whole roof, which means once you have rights for runoff, it's all the same. Once he lets you have the rain the drip off at his chassid, we don't make a chiluk. Comes again, what says, Ikad Amri, Amar Rav Nachman, Ahazik Leshafcheh, if he has the rights for the runoff in one spot in the courtyard, Ahazik Lenatfeh, certainly, no, Ahazik Lenatfeh, even as Ahazakah for Natfeh, even though it's running over the whole courtyard, Lenatfeh, if he has established for to drip in the whole courtyard, Ahazik Leshafcheh, Aval, Litzifad de Urbane lo. Oh, but to let rainwater drip from a shack. Shack, its roof is made from willow branches. There's no right for dripping from such a roof. Why? What's the reason? But to let rainwater drip from a shack whose roof is composed of willow branches, he has established no right, for the dripping from such roof is concentrated. Too much rain is going to fall from that. And what's going to end up happening? He's not going to be able to use his chassid. So even though you let me use it from a regular roof doesn't establish you to now let the drain off, drip off from an urbane, a shack. Okay. Rav Yosef Amar, afilu slifad urbane, doesn't drip off, it doesn't matter. Let it be a regular roof, or even once you have rights even from the shack. And the story is, avad Rav Yosef ovda, but slifad urbane. There was a case that came to Rav Yosef, he allowed it. Does the guy let you let the drain off come from your roof? Yes. You can even let the drain off come from the Hatzir, from the Urbani as well. Okay, a guy is renting a house to his friend in a large residence, which means you have like a big house and as many rooms. So the guy's like renting an apartment in a big house. Okay? He rented a room. So the question is now, when I rent a room in an apartment, what rights do I have to use the building? The building has a garden, has a backyard, storage. I rented the apartment now. What rights does it give me now? Look at all the other stuff that goes on. So the Gemara says, "Mishtamesh bizizeha ubichetaleha adar ma'amot." So in the olden days, outside the building used to be like things that used to project. They were called zizin. They would project out of the walls of the building. People would store stuff on top of it, underneath it, right? Storage areas. So the deen is the tenant is able to use the beams and the crevices of the wall up to 4 amot. Okay? Opposite his room. So he has a room, let's say. So outside is there's a beam that juts out. So anything that's within 4 amot of his room, he can use as storage areas to put his things. Mishtamesh bezizeha, that's the protrusion, the projecting. And we get that on the walls, okay. Ubaobi akotel, and the thickness of the top of the wall. Let's say he's on the top floor, okay, and he wants to put stuff on the ledge outside of his apartment. That's permissible as well, okay. Bemakom shinagu. In a case where the minhag is to do that, by the way, maybe places have a minhag. We don't store anything over there. So if nobody stores anything, then of course you cannot do it. Aval beturbatz apadne lo. But the section of wall that faces the garden of the reception hall, no. It seems that in the olden days they'd have a big reception area, and next to the reception area they would have a garden, things like that. That already, you got to keep that nice. We don't put your junk over there. Leave that for the malamai. And she says, aval beturbatz apadne lo. Turbatz is a garden, apadne is from the hall. Derech boneh birah, the people that build birahs, like buildings, hashuv, laniyach la keneged pita traklin, they have like by the reception hall, hashuv shvaken gina, they put a little garden, they have it like, you know, to make nice.
Ve'onin bad the she'id, grows grass. Ve'yafem, but it's very pretty. The ainayin. Ve'sham in the shoot nazir letot be'ketanim klum. No, don't hang up anything over there. She'in asuli kenes etecho. That's really made for aesthetics. It's not made for you putting any stuff over there. Okay, but Rav Nachman did that. Amar, but Rav Nachman himself said, "Afilu beturbatz apadneh." You can use even the wall that faces the garden reception hall. Since bottom one, you can enter there. You can use it. Amar the habasha oreh batim lo, but you may not use. Let's say behind the apartments. Okay, that area is not included in the rental. And she says, "Call it kish oreh batim kol rechava." Right, whatever's in the back is called rechava. Whatever's in the front is called the chatzir. So the back you're not allowed to use. Rava says the renter can use anything, even the expansion in the back. Amar Avina, hay kishura de metallalta. Okay, you have a beam that's built for shade. Okay, which means like this. I have a hut. I have a beam over the hut. I'm sitting in the hut for shade. Now, the beam goes across, and it rests on my neighbor's wall. He doesn't say anything. He let me keep it there. So now the question is, just because he didn't say anything, how long does it have to be there before I can consider his silence giving me permission? So the thing is like this. Haikish, this beam for a hut that's built for shade, ad taltin yomin. If it remains there up to 30 days and the owner doesn't object, lo avi hazaka. That's not a hazaka. Which means you can't come along and say, "Oh, it's 30 days. He didn't say anything, so that must be like he gave me permission." So it's as if I bought rights. No, 30 days is not enough. However, batat latin yomid longer than 30 days, then and the guy doesn't object, havi hazaka. Then already you could assume that the guy with the beam purchased rights to use that that area of the wall. Okay, all laws with neighbors over here. How do you judge it? Another case. The isukah de mitzvahi. Oh, but if it's a sukkah, it's not a stama hut for shade. Guy's building a sukkah for the mitzvah, and he rested the schach on his neighbor's wall. Ad shiva yomin. If 7 days of Sukkot passed, that's not enough. Lo avi hazaka. You don't assume that he has rights to leave it there permanently. However, but if the Sukkot was over after the 7 days, havi hazaka, because the old days used to leave the Sukkot all year long. So therefore, if the Sukkot's over, he didn't open his mouth, then you could assume that he's allowing you to keep the yiskach there on the guy's wall for the whole time, which means in the first case, it was a deen of 30 days. Because that was a regular hut, not for mitzvah. But when it's a mitzvah item, how long is the mitzvah for? 7 days. So if 7 days came, after the 7 days came, he said, "Get out of here." Okay, obviously. But after 7 days, Sukkot's over. He didn't say anything. Then you could assume he's allowing you to keep it for the whole year. Look at Rashi.
He's saying 8 days, that's it, it's Chazakah.
Right, so look at Rashi. Look at Rashi says, V'isukah demitzvah, lebatar zayin, avi hazakah, dekeva deshavkua, ala yoter min atzorech, which means, once he let you keep it longer than Sukkot, he should have protested. For the fact that he didn't protest, so you see what? There must be he's allowing it. Tosfot, umedelomi ha, from the fact that he didn't protest, right, Rashi. Ika lemema, deze peso bema'ot, must mean he paid him for something to get rights for forever. That's the whole point of it. When a guy has a protest, you assume that it must be he gave him some money to let him use it. Shekere yad darkam, likbawa sukatan letzur kol ha-shanim, which means the custom was to leave the sukkah for the whole year. Vilkach miyad lachar zayin, right after Sukkot is over, havi hazaka. Terodami l'sukkah dimitalalta. It's not like a sukkah that's built for shade. There, it's for 30 days. Because that's just for shade. So then if you have a 30-day item, but here, he built it for Sukkot. Once Sukkot is over, the guy should have told him, take it down. The fact that he didn't tell him after Sukkot must be he's letting keep it for the long haul. V'i habre betina. But let's say, he put this beam that he put on his friend's wall, He cemented it. He's not just resting, but he cemented it. Le'altara bihazaka. And it's a hazaka immediately. Because again, you could assume the guy's not going to let his... The guy's not going to allow his friend to put cement on his wall. If he let him put cement on his wall, he didn't open his mouth, even after 1 day, it's considered a hazaka. Okay, bihavre betina le'altar havi hazaka. That's whether it's the hut or the sukkah, it's immediately. Rashi? No. Continue. Amar Abaye,
Shne batim b'shne sidei reshut rabim. You have two houses across the street from each other. Reshut rabim is in the middle. Okay. Ze ose maase lahasi gago, veze ose maake lahasi gago. Now, with Pablo Bezo, have roofs. We need privacy now. I don't want this guy from this roof to see what I'm doing on my roof, and vice versa. So the law is, each one has to make half a wall on his roof, half a wall on the other side, which means this guy goes from, starting from, let's say, the north side. He goes north-south, builds half a wall. The other guy starts from the south side and goes south-north, builds half a wall. And the Gemara says they ma'adif a little. They go a little extra, so now nobody can see, because this wall is blocking on the south side, this wall is blocking on the north side. Nobody can see each other. They don't have to build the whole way. That's too expensive. And not only is it too expensive, it's damaging to the roof to build a heavy wall on the roof. So the deed is, when you have two guys, two neighbors across the street from each other, have roofs, and they use the roofs for work. So the deed is, I mean, inside, Zeh Oseh Makel Hatzi Gago, this guy builds roof half a fence for half. Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh, not parallel to each other, as I explained to you. Uma Adif, and you go a little extra. You go a little extra so you can't see in between. You make it a little long, not exactly halfway, because you make it exactly halfway, then you might be able to still to see in between. So each one extends the fence beyond the halfway mark. Okay, so they overlap, basically. You have a picture, and some of the books have a picture of that? Okay, exactly like we said. Okay. Right, the slight overlap prevents one neighbor from gazing directly into the other rooftop area. Okay, basically, if you want, diagonally, you can stand and see it, but the rabbis cannot fix everything. That's as far as they were able to. Okay. My idiom is Shuta Rabim, I feel the Shuta Yachid Nameh. Come on, ask this obvious question. Why do you have to give me a case where the two houses, there's a Shuta Rabim in the middle? And if there's not, even if it's a Shuta Yachid in the middle, who cares if there's a public domain or a private domain? Even a private domain. Bottom line, you have the two houses, they want privacy on their roofs. Come on, ask the Shuta Rabim is Tarikh. The Hadush is the Shuta Rabim. Why? Ma'u de tema. Nemale could be one of the homeowners could say like this: Sof sof haba'it letzdanu'e mebene reshut rabim, which means maybe one of the guys says, you know what, I'm not building anything. You build a wall on your build a whole wall on your roof. You know why? Anyway, you got to protect yourself from the reshut rabim. Forget about me. The reshut rabim is over there. What are you demanding me to build on my roof? You had to build it anyway. So therefore, build it yourself. Build the whole wall to protect yourself from the eyes of the reshut rabim. The guy can tell him back. If it was only for the Shuta Rabim, they only see me during the day. However, at night, they can't see what's going on my roof. But you see me at day and at night as well, because you're on top. So therefore, you got to chip in. You can't tell me the whole burden is on me. I'm protecting myself from you as well. The Shuta Rabim, that's only, I got to be concerned only in the day. But you, I got to be concerned at night as well. So therefore, you can't claim that I'm only protecting myself from the Shuta Rabim. I'm protecting myself from you as well. And therefore, you have to build at least half a wall. Or, Rabim ki ka'imna hazuli. The Shuta Rabim people, they can only see me when I'm standing, because they're on the ground. When I'm sitting on my roof doing private work, they can't see me. But you see me even when I'm sitting. So therefore, I'm protecting myself from you as well. So therefore, you can't say, hey, you were building it anyway for the Shuta Rabim. No, I'm building it to protect it from you. So therefore, you also have to build on your side as well. Furthermore, Rabim kima'inu hazuli. The public can only see me when they make a conscious effort to see me. So they walk, they got to look at the guy's roof and things like that. However, you... but when they don't make a conscious effort, they're not able to know what I'm doing. But you just look over your roof, you see me. So they were basically, with all these claims, that's why you can tell the neighbor, you got to build also. You can't put the whole thing on me. Because the other guy went and said, hey, what do you want? You were building it anyway for the Shuta Rabim. No. The Shuta Rabim doesn't damage me as much as you do. They don't damage me at night. They can't see me when I'm sitting. They only have to make a conscious effort to damage you. You see me at night. You see me when I'm sitting. You just have to gaze over the fence. So therefore, both of them have to build
half, they don't have to build the whole wall, obviously, because that'd be too heavy for the roof to take. Half a wall, let it overlap a little so nobody can peek in, and that's the way it's done. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.